we have friendships that last a long time. It's interesting. Bobby has always been one that I felt a strong affinity with. His friendship has always been very intentional and real and meaningful in my life, even though we've had long periods of time where we don't even have a conversation. But I've appreciated Bobby since he came to the Northwest from Texas, and have been so glad that he stayed. And today I'm excited for what the Lord is going to speak to you and to me through this man's life. Thank you and welcome, Bob. We appreciate you.
It's a real privilege and honor to stand in this place and at this time, and I'm thankful that God brought Steve to you, and it's been, I was thinking, it just really hit me that this is, we're coming now in mid-May, we're about to come to the end of May, and it was 37 years ago, with it, coming up here at the end of May, that we came to the Northwest, and we came to what was Pines. And so I was actually introduced to North Addison 37 years ago. Came over here and met Harry Jensen when he was leading music. And so a lot of memories of things that have happened in your church, not just in this room, but in the other building. Funerals and special meetings and a nightmare for any music person. We were doing, I think it was a Christmas musical for the association, I think. Back in the time when you used cassette tapes. That's how long ago it was. And we started the musical, we're doing the musical with the cassette tape. We get into that first song and the tape is starting to garble, which means the machine is eating the tape. Fortunately, we had done something illegal and I had an illegal copy of it in the car. And I went back and we used the illegal copy to do the musical. Well, that's not what we're here to do today. Well, and I'm not, you'll soon realize by the time we finish today, he's right, he's not much of a preacher, because I was never called as a preacher nor trained as a preacher. But, thank you, Steve. God does have something for me to share with you today, and I'm thankful for that. Because he's done some, to me, life-changing things, and in later years. For so many years, people thought of when they meet Sharon or Bobby, okay, that's Sharon and Bobby, they're in church music. And that's really what we were known for starting 1 year after we were married, and for 37 years or so, looking at us as doing church music. But the last 10 years, people talk about Sharon and Bobby. They say, oh, they're that couple that goes to Ukraine. So God has really done some changes in our lives and in our ministries. And we're just thankful today that we can come today, because I've learned something, and it doesn't matter how we are. It took until I was at least 60 years old before I learned this. There's just a great difference in what commitment is and what surrender is. And sometimes commitment's enough, but there are other times when commitment is not enough. Commitment is not what God wants from us. So in a few moments, I want to share a testimony of some things that have taken place and take you into Scripture and make us examine our lives today. Most of you here today are, you're either surrendered believers, you're committed believers. There's a few people here that may be here just because someone made you, probably not too many. Some may just come out of habit. That's in most churches. There are some people, they just go out of habit. So why are you here? Why do you serve? Why do you do what you do? It's just going to be a day to maybe self-examine. But since Ukraine is a major part of the teaching lesson for me, we've got just a few pictures that we're going to show you that just kind of give you a brief overview of something that's taken place in my life, in Sharon's life, since 2007 for her, 2008 for me. So here we go. Let's look. I just want to give you two or three pictures of Ukraine itself. This picture of Independence Square in Kyiv, that's where really basically the revolution seemed to all begin and end in Kyiv, and it was there in 2014, the end of 2013-2014, that Ukrainians rose up and were able to cause Yanukovych, the Russian puppet leader of Ukraine at that time, to flee the country. And at the same time, that opened the door for a Russian occupation of Crimea and eastern Ukraine during 2014. Let's see another picture, though. It's a beautiful country. And this is a picture of Dnipro. If you follow any of the news today, you still hear a lot of Dnipro. Dnipro was a city of about 1 million people. I'm not sure how many are there now. Much further down the Dnipro River. It was a closed city during Soviet times. This is where, in Dnipro, is where they built most of the rockets that were designed to carry nuclear weapons to the United States. It was a closed city. Even Ukrainians couldn't visit without special permission. Only the people that worked in the manufacturing. But it's a beautiful city and has a powerful church that's there and operating today. One more picture of the city, of people. Next picture. Just, you know, in general. I mean, I don't know where everybody is in this picture, because it's a walking culture. The streets are always full of people that are beautiful people. So now just a few more images. Here's, of course, you see so many of the churches that fill the country and are beautiful, the beautiful architecture. But unfortunately, so many of these churches are dead. Now let's stay here on this picture for a moment. This picture right here, this is why Sharon and I first went to Ukraine. This is a picture, an example of a ministry that Michael got. Michael got a Southern Baptist evangelist who was based in Texas, who has spent the great, great, great majority of his ministry for the last 40 plus years anyway, in Eastern Europe, in the former Soviet bloc. We met him in Texas in 1980, so I've known Michael for 43 years. And at that time, he was still doing a lot of revivals in the U.S. But now almost everything Michael's been doing has been in Eastern Europe. And since the fall of the communism broke up in 89, 90, during those years, Michael started taking and doing English evangelism events. I didn't want to go. But Sharon and I went with Michael and Jan and a team, and we started going with them. Really went to Poland in 99. I didn't want to go, but we went. And then into Ukraine, I didn't want to go, but we went. And this is just an example of the kind of events they have, where for 2 weeks you're with Ukrainian people, helping them with English, but they learn a person. They develop a relationship with you, and they hear the gospel. And I'm, without exaggerating, thousands of people have come to Christ through Michael's ministry in Ukraine. This was even taken during the war in Dnipro. They still baptize in the river. The Baptists still go to the rivers to baptize. And this was in the last year. Some friends sent that picture of a young man in his baptism in the Dnipro River. There in Dnipro. Let's have another picture. This also is another one of Michael's events. Shows you a picture. That church is actually in Mariupol. And of course, Mariupol has mostly been destroyed now. Next picture, please. And there's an example of a class that Sharon had. I think that was probably our last trip in 21 during COVID, when the schools were a little bit smaller, but we were there in Lviv. Now, take note. This picture right here is the church in Yalta, Crimea. You World War II historians realize that Yalta is where Churchill and Stalin and Roosevelt met for a conference to talk about the division of Europe after the end of World War II. That church, we were there in 2011. That's the beginning of a big change in my life right there. Started taking place in that church. I'm glad to say, even though that's in Russian-occupied Crimea, the daughter of the late pastor who has passed away, I had communication with her just yesterday. That church is still meeting. I'm glad they're able to meet because many of the evangelicals in eastern Ukraine cannot. Next picture. This also is a major turning point in our lives, which I'll tell you about. This is standing in front of Kyiv Christian University, a university, small Christian school in Kyiv, which now, after the 14 beginning of this war that's gone on for several years, has just been housing refugees, and they no longer have a Christian school there. But it was instrumental in our ministry in Ukraine. The next picture, please. This is a door that the Lord opened for Sharon. Sharon was a vision specialist here. In fact, she's still wrapping up some work in Medical Lake School District. But Sharon was able to become involved in a blind ministry in Ukraine. And you'll notice the man on the left is the director, Igor Melnichuk, of a ministry nationwide in Ukraine. And I was with her once or twice in events there. We went to a camp on the Azov Sea, which is now also occupied by Russian troops. But great thing. This is a picture of an English club that we helped start in Rivne. Great church, Grace Church in Rivne. Large church that meets in an old government, Soviet government building. On Sunday mornings, they'll have about 800 people in worship. Dynamic young pastor. Well, he's young to me. He was young, but he's probably 50. I don't know. He's still a young pastor. Does great ministry. But we help them start an English club. Sharon and I taught English 3 weeks for there every night. But they started an English club, which is still going, even in the midst of war. Interesting thing about this church, with their war going on, about half the people left Rivne. But that many came from eastern Ukraine, and the church is still full every Sunday because of the war. Next picture. And this young man and his family, and there's three students there. This young man is God's gift to me and to Sharon, but especially to me, because this man, Pavlo, or Pasha Onatsko, as we call Pasha, a brother that's a young pastor in Kyiv. He has been God's gift to me because once I started going to Ukraine without Michael Gott teams, Pasha arranged all my travel, all my lodging, anything that I needed, that young man has taken care of. And they are the closest people in Ukraine to me. In fact, they are closer than many people here. They're closer than, they are family. The four children, they're like our grandchildren. But there's three students there also that are university age students who they reached through their church ministry. They had an 800 students living in a high-rise dormitory in the building where their church was allowed to meet. And they started reaching some of the students. And now COVID chased them out of that building because it was a state-run university. But now they have also refugees living in that building, and they have a ministry now to refugees because they had relationship. Next picture. Another blessing to me is the ability to teach seminary class once each year, starting in 2014. And this is one of the class pictures. We get to teach a week each year, first year worship students. And the way that began is all just a God thing. I just happened to meet somebody. I was going to thank you for letting me stay here this week. And I met the people at that time, and the doors open that God has allowed me to invest myself in that seminary. And that continues. One more picture or two here. In 2014, I don't know how I put that in there, but that was right after that revolution of 14. And they still had standing in Independence Square that old makeshift type Christmas tree as they were trying to clean up from the destruction of that revolution. And the next picture is this is a private institute or public institute, perhaps higher learning, non-Christian. God has allowed us to get into places that you could not get into in the United States. The open doors are there. And Sharon had some projects with this this Institute of Higher Learning to do some English projects. Next picture, please. Back to Yalta for a moment, and we're about to be through with the pictures. My class sitting on the front row of young people in a ministry with Michael Gott in 2018. We had, even then, shelling was within earshot. You could hear it at night. But they met and never talked about a war on their back door. And the next picture, the final picture, I believe, there's that church today. There's those rows today. But God has a plan. Thank you for the pictures. God did some amazing things in my life. He's changed my life. He's made, really, even though starting in 1974, music, youth, church ministry, vocational ministry has been my life. And there have been some wonderful, rich blessings in there. Perhaps the greatest blessings have been in the past 10, 12 years, in my later years, because of something that took place. Scripture. I'm going to take you to some familiar scripture. Matthew chapter 4. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to look at verses 18 through, I think, about 22. Familiar scripture. And a scripture that seems like there must surely be some error. You know, we say there's no error in scripture, but the way we live, there must be some error here. Look at this in verse 18. As he, Jesus, was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them, and I'll make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Now, that cannot be right. What crazy people immediately get up and follow somebody when they say, I'm going to make you a fisher for men? That's why I said there's got to be some errors here. Why did they not say, what is this fishers of men thing? Tell us about it. And, you know, this is our livelihood. We're busy right now. Give us some information. We'll look at, maybe we'll pray about it. Maybe then, you know, we can consider this. But immediately, they leave everything. They leave their livelihood, and they followed him. If it says they immediately left their nets and followed him, I believe they did. Let's go on right down the road a little bit in verse 21. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with Zebedee, their father, preparing their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Come on, people. You're going to get up and leave daddy sitting there who needs you? Now we're not just talking about leaving livelihood to go and do something we have no idea what you're talking about. We're going to leave dad. We're going to leave Zebedee sitting in the boat. Now let's think about us. God speaks to us about doing something. And how do we respond to that? Most of the time, we'll listen. And it might come through the pastor. Here's a need that we have in the church. This is something we believe God could use you in. We're asking you to consider this ministry. We believe God wants you to do this. And what do we do? Well, let me pray about that. We're real good about using let me pray about that, because usually that means I really don't want to do this. Really, that's what it usually means. I really don't want to do this, but I buy a little time. I'm going to tell you, we'll pray about it. And then we start looking for the excuses of why we won't do it. Well, we don't. It might be something that takes some time. Well, I don't really have the time. Or it might take some money. Well, I sure don't have the money. I don't have the skills. So we try to find all these different reasons why we can't do it. Now let's think about something. Something that I learned from Adrian Rogers. He's the one that helped me see by illustration and in scripture a difference between commitment and surrender. He says, when we're committed, and most of the time, I really think most of the time we as believers, we live committed lives. Sometimes we live surrender lives. And all of you that accepted Christ, you lived a surrender life at one time because you surrendered your life to Christ. But most of the time we live committed lives. Something arises and we say, I'll do that as long as I can still not go too far. If I've got the money saved, if I've got vacation time, if the family, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go, as long as my children are not more than 2 hours away, or vice versa. Don't tell me that does not happen. That happens a lot. I have seen families follow each other all over this country, and you have too. Children following their parents, parents following their children, and sometimes you need them, I know, and that's why God gave them to you. I'm not saying it's wrong to be near family. That's a blessing. But what's wrong is if we limit God and say, that's as far as I'm going, Lord. Let me tell you what I learned through our experience in Ukraine. To illustrate this, I had to live it. As I said, I never wanted to travel internationally. I really don't like it now. I never wanted to. But we were studying experiencing God. That's another dangerous study to get into. In the late 90s, and we were still on convention staff, and Sharon and I were living in the Portland area, and we got this call from Michael Gott. Studying experiencing God, and Michael and Jan called and said, we believe God's telling us you're to go to Poland with us for one of these ministries. Didn't want to go. But I was in studying experiencing God, and it was so obvious to me, if I did not go, I was being totally disobedient to God. So, long story short, we went to Poland. It was great. Actually, it was great. I said, I can go to Poland. They didn't arrest me when I crossed the border. All is fine. I got to come home. We actually went back 2 years later, briefly. But then we didn't go for a while, and Michael Gott's ministry shifted on into Ukraine. And now you're talking deeper into the old Soviet Union. I was just one of these people afraid. You know, we were all raised to think of those people as our enemies. And they're out to get us, and we're out to get them. And if I go over there, I'll say something wrong when I'm crossing the border, and they're going to block me up somewhere, and I'll never see the light of day again. I'll never get to come home. I didn't want to go. So Sharon actually went in 2007 to Ukraine. I did not go. I said, my dad's not well. And that's true. Dad was not well. I said, you go on to Ukraine. I'm going to go to Texas and spend some time with him while you're in Ukraine. Well, Dad lived on. 2008 came. I couldn't use that excuse again. So I went. I went with Sharon. We went to Ukraine, went to Rivne, Ukraine, for an English event. We're blessed. And we said, you know, I can do this. I can do this. I can come and go, and I love these people. This is worthwhile. And we came home, and we went the next year. We found our time. I was on church staff at that time out here at Crossover. And we took time off. They gave us our vacation time. And we would go to Ukraine in the summer for an event, my 2 weeks vacation, the 2 weeks event. We went in 2009, went in 2010. And each time we were going, Sharon and I would say, you know, this is such a valuable thing today. Someday, we've got to do more. It was pulling on my heart. There's more. There's more to this than taking my vacation when I have the time. I can get the time from work, saving the money, and going. So we went, and we went on those times. We became very committed to Michael God's ministry. And if commitment is where it would have stayed, I'm sure that each year we would have gone once and would have been involved in a great ministry, because they've been going every year. Even up till COVID, we went at the beginning of 20, came home, the world shut down, and we didn't get to go back to the end of 21. But something changed. We're in 2011, we're in Yalta, that little church I showed you. We went in the winter. So I said, Lord, show me how I can go home and talk to my pastor about getting some more time off in the summer to come back again. Because this is just January, and this is what's so important to me. How do we come back again? How do I find the money to come back again? So I'm here, a conversation going on between Sharon and Michael Gott, the ministry leader. I just heard this conversation. I was not a part of it. I didn't want to be a part of it, because he was talking to her about a small Christian school in Kyiv, that Kyiv Christian University, which I showed you a picture of. He said, they're looking for an American couple that will come and be their partners to develop English studies and to do projects that will be attractive and beneficial to their students and to their community around them. I heard the conversation, and I'm saying to myself, we don't have room for that. We cannot do that. I'm trying to decide, how do I go back home, go to my pastor and say, can I have more time off this summer to go again? I hear the conversation, and I put my prayer life to work, because Michael said to Sharon, he said, I'm going to contact the leader of the university to see if the day before you go home, back to the States, you can meet with them in Kyiv and talk about this possible connection and partnership. So I began to pray, Lord, no, we do not need this meeting. Don't let it happen. It complicates things even more. We do not need to have this meeting. I prayed. Oh, God was so good. He answered my prayer. He said, no. We had a meeting the day before we're to come home to the States. And we are walked into this room with the rector or the president, Victor Goryenko, and Alexei's last name, who was the academic dean, and a young man who became a dear friend of ours, Sasha, who was going to do the interpreting. They begin to introduce themselves in Russian. And you know what? My interpreter was telling me what I was hearing. Only time in my life that I really remember this happening. I'm telling you, that's what I was hearing. They're speaking Russian, just talking, introductory. What I'm hearing? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. God broke me. I don't know what they were saying. Really didn't know at that time what they were wanting. But God spoke to me clearly. Say yes. Get out of the boat. Follow me. You don't have to know what it means. You don't have to know how much time it's going to take, or how much money it's going to take, or what all it's going to involve. Follow me. Say yes. Long story shortened. We came home the next day. I went to my pastor. This was end of February. And I said, Pastor, come summer, I'll step down. Too early to retire. I had just turned 60. I said, we'll step down. I don't know what God wants, but He's calling me to go. I don't know what it means. I don't know how it's going to work. We don't have the money to do this because even the trip. Okay, I'm going to reduce my salary, and each trip's going to cost you $2,000 to $3,000 to go. You know, how do we do it? What's it going to be? Well, you know what that opened up the door to? That year, four trips, between 2011 and 2020, anywhere from 3 to 5 trips a year to Ukraine. A couple to Hungary for me with Michael Gott, one extensive trip into Poland. Doing different things, working with churches, partnership with churches, getting to share about worship in some of those. The Lord opened the door for me to connect with that seminary to teach each year. But partnerships with churches, and then God connected sharing with this ministry to the blind. So what happened? Once commitment ended and surrender took over, so much more. Now, we were blessed while committed. God can still bless you when you're committed to Him. But what we're missing so much, if we won't surrender, so much more. There's so much more to a surrendered life than to the committed life. I think that involved in so many things. And, you know, sometimes we try to so control our lives to not want to let go and let God lead and let God do what He wants to do. Our plans. We have such great plans. We try to shape God's will for our lives to fit the things that we want to do. Instead of saying, God, I don't know what this is all about, but we want to follow You. We want to do what You want to do. Well, I said we made so many trips, and He allowed us to go into Mariupol before it was gone and destroyed. And there's a lot of those people from Mariupol right here in Spokane now. In fact, the young man that was playing the piano in this picture, you couldn't see, but the man that was young playing the piano for a short while, in fact, he lived right down here on not 6 blocks from your church. I think he and his family came here in 2019, before the invasion, as refugees. But now we've made even so many more because they've lost everything in that city. Well, there's a lot that's not accessible, but God is still doing things. Those churches, some of those churches, they're still meeting every Sunday. They're told not to meet because of threat of attacks. They're meeting. They're baptizing. They're ministering to hurting people. When this is over, whenever that is, if it's in the tribulation and we're not here to see it, whenever that ends, the world cannot say these evangelicals did not care about us, because the church has poured itself out to those people. And the ministries that we've seen taking place amaze us. I'm amazed. They've taught me so much, Ukrainians that are still in Ukraine and living there and doing the things they're doing. Oh, they make me see how small my issues are. I asked Pasha just the other day, I said, what's Kyiv like right now? Because back this month, there have been almost every night missiles. Almost every night missiles, so they can't sleep hardly. So life's pretty much normal, except we can't rest at night. They now, we're online, trying to do a lot of online ministries with people and reading the Bible and teaching English and things. And now we'll be online with them. And they'll say, yeah, the air raid sirens are going off now, but they just stay there. They keep going. Why run and hide? We don't know where it's going to land. teaches me a lot. So I have a question for you today. What is it that God has wanted from you that you've tried to keep control of? Because there's some things, I think exactly it's kind of a something extra God gives you that you can be committed to. Maybe it's a hobby or something that not life changing, but when you've got the time and you've got the money, say, God, say, do that. That's good for you. But there's some things God wants from you that you're not willing to give him because of family or situations. You're not ready and willing to trust him. It took me going somewhere I didn't want to go, facing a situation I did not want to face, finding myself with people that I couldn't understand their language, didn't know what they wanted me to do, that God had just to flat break me down and say yes to me. Does God want you to say yes about something? Is it teaching a class? Is it going to a neighbor? Is it calling someone on the telephone? Is it praying for someone that you're mad at? I'm not talking about going to foreign missions. Lots of things in our lives God wants from us, and he'll bless us richly if we'll just trust him and say yes. Please pray with me, and then I'll ask Pastor Steve to come and close the service out. Father, we live in such complicated and crazy times. Father, I believe we're living in last days, and that soon, very soon, we're going to see you face to face. But Lord, until we do, would you teach us to be willing just to say, yes, Lord, I don't know how you want to do this. I don't know how I can do it. I don't feel qualified or have the ability or the time or anything else. But Lord, you call me to do it. I want to say yes to it. Because, Father, your will and your way is so much greater than I can ever understand. I want to allow you to change my life, to make me uncomfortable, but in doing so, to bless me more than I've ever been blessed before. Thank you, Father, for the brothers and sisters in this room and for this church. Lord, thank you so much for Pastor Steve. What a blessing he and his family have been in my life these last 37 years of knowing them. So, Father, today we give it to you and pray that you'll have used this experience of ours 5,000 miles away to make a difference in somebody's life and in their service for you. I want to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bobby. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, just to stand with me. And, you know, there are wonderful questions that our brother has asked as we've come to a close today. And I'm not going to muddy the water. I think every one of us needs to be listening and hearing. There are a lot of things that maybe God has spoken to you over these days, these years, even perhaps recently. Have you come to that place where you're saying yes? What is God saying to you today? If there's a decision that you need to just ask for prayer, not to say I'll pray about it, but to ask for prayer and to ask others to join you in prayer for what God is calling you to, what God is just saying you need to be involved and a part of this, then I encourage you, please come. Please come. We'll begin to pray together now. We'll commit ourselves to that prayer over the time ahead. Maybe he's calling away, maybe he's calling to. What is he saying? What is it that you need to surrender to today?